morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Jenkins. On this nice, crisp morning outside, if the weather can't decide if it's going to be warm or cold. Okay, this morning I'd like for everyone to stand up and greet your neighbor. Look around, see if there's anyone that you haven't met or that's never been here before. Greet them, please. Okay. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? I don't see anybody there. Okay. All right. Do we have any announcements?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. We would definitely do that.
Part two, sign on part two, drop in the office place, if you will. Okay? So we won't forget.
Any other? Okay.
Okay, Dad.
Okay. Youth, tonight, 5 o'clock here at the church. Eat before you come. I'm not providing dinner tonight. Any other announcements?
Okay, the session will meet here tonight at 4 o'clock. The newly elected and will be ordained are installed at the 10:15 service. We'll talk about that in this service, though, so you won't be left out. We will meet at 4 o'clock. The elders who are rotating off, the elders who are coming on, and all the rest, too. And we're going to eat supper together. We do this once a year. So, elders, if you're just completing a term, your term is not over until we get the new elders installed. Then we'll take you to supper for your 3-year service. And then the newly installed elders, but just want to make sure that word gets out. If you have any business to bring before the session, we'll meet back here at about 6 o'clock. We'll come back and have our meeting back here at this place. Thank you.
Okay, any other announcements? Okay, now, prayer request.
Wait, one more announcement. I thought you was going to say other announcements. The Monday morning prayer group, Bible study group. The Monday morning Bible study group will meet this Monday at 10 o'clock. Gloria Job teaching, and the new study will be on prayer. So, Bible study, 10 o'clock, Monday morning, here in the lobby. Gloria Job teaching, a study from the Bible on prayer.
Any other announcements? Okay, any prayer requests or praise reports? Wow. Well, that's a blessing, yeah. Wasn't it?
We are having a reorganization meeting of the choir today at 2 o'clock. So it looks like I'll be here all day. But if you have an interest in singing in the choir, please come today at 2 o'clock. Thank you.
Okay. Any prayer requests?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I have a couple of unspoken ones. Anybody else? Okay, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worship. Okay, would you stand for our gathering words this morning, please? It is responsive. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost.
Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?
Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good.
And your soul will delight in the richest affair.
Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live.
I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David.
Step by step is our first hymn.
Let's do All Who Are Thirsty.
Okay, sorry, excuse me.
Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, who are thirsty? Oh, who are weak? Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in this stream of love. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Let's bow for prayer, please. Lord God, We have heard the call. We come thirsty. We come seeking bread from heaven. Lord, we are so weak and helpless without You. Sometimes we fail to remember this. Forgive us. And we come seeking water from which we will never thirst and bread from which we will never hunger. Lord God, You have promised to be with us. And we thank You for fulfilling that promise. And Lord, if we have anything that would keep us from experiencing Your presence or knowing that You are in our midst, we pray that that would be removed. And we could worship You in truth and in spirit. We could even feel You, O Lord. Know You by Your Word. And know You as You move within us. And know You as You speak to a still small voice or even a thought that You plant in our mind. Lord, we come in the name of Jesus and we come thanking You for Him. And Lord Jesus, we thank You for coming. And now we offer the prayer that You taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Apostles' Creed is found on the screen and on page 716 in your hymnals. Let's recite it together. I believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our call to confession this morning comes from Jeremiah 14, chapter 14, verse 20. O Lord, we acknowledge our wickedness and the guilt of our fathers. We have indeed sinned against You. Can we pray the prayer of confession together? Time of
God, You cast light into sin's dark places. And call us Your beloved. Forgive us when we still linger in the shadows, when we treat others in hurtful ways, when we speak ill of Your friends. As He knelt in the waters of Jordan, You proclaimed Jesus Your child, pointing to Him as a way to You. Forgive us when we put ourselves ahead of Him, when we think He is no longer needed, when we fail to see Him in the broken of our world. Baptized and blessed in Your waters,
You have us to be Your servants in our time.
Forgive us when we fail to welcome the stranger, when we refuse to forgive as we should,
When we believe we are too good to kneel down, tie the shoes of the lost, the least, the last, the little.
The words of assurance come from Isaiah 43:25. God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions. For my own sake, he remembers your sins no more.
To him, 505. Love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the waters of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, Thelma, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
All my heart to hear, I give, never to hear my pain.
Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Souls
in danger looked above. Jesus completely saves, he will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, fill us his will obey.
He your Savior wants to be saved today.
Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
For some of the business of the church, but part of the worship experience also, you should have an insert with the number 2.70 and elders as a title to that page. It should be 1 8.5 by 11 printed as 4 pages. At the 10:15 service, we will ordain 2 elders, install 4, 2 having already been ordained or having been ordained previously. We understand that we ordain a person once to the office of elder in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and they may serve many terms, and they need to be only installed to that particular term that they have been elected to if they have been ordained previously. John Rippey and Jerry Bowers have served as elders in this congregation, and they have been ordained, And so at the 10:15 service, we will install them. Now, why do we install and ordain in the 10:15 service? We don't do it twice. And this is the service in this case where the four people normally attend, but that has been our more traditional service. And so that's the best reason I can give why we do it then. But we do not want to leave you out and have you not being involved in this. And you're certainly welcome to be here at the 10:15 service. And then if you wanted to stay through that part and slip out, we wouldn't be mad at you. Okay, Deborah Eckert and Sally Turco have been elected. They have not served as elders in the church, and so we will ordain them, set them apart for this particular task that they have been called to. Our process this year was just a little different than it has been in years past. We normally have the present session to make nominations of persons for the office of elder. This year, we even went to the congregation and asked you to suggest people that would be considered for nomination for elder. It so happened, if my memory is correct, we only had one person to turn in any names, and that happened to be an elder who was rotating off this time. This person informed us, the session as we met, as a nominating committee, who we were. So I would encourage you, when this opportunity comes around next November, October, November, that you take advantage of the opportunity to help in selecting the leadership of the church if you would like. And we thought we made that public enough, often enough, to encourage you to offer suggestions. And maybe you have been pleased with the process as it has gone on for almost 30 years in this congregation. If actions speak for whether you're pleased or not, that would say so. On the handout, we have elders. And this tells about the elders, this tells a general statement about the elders. From the confession of faith. And then the election, ordination, and installation of elders and deacons. Now, why don't we talk about deacons? When this church was organized, they chose not to have deacons, and the way to change that would be for the congregation to vote to have deacons. But there hadn't been a real big cry for deacons. We have committees that are doing some of that work, especially the finance and the outreach benevolence committees. So the election, ordination, and installation of elders according to the government of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And then there are six questions to be asked of the people to be ordained. The person to be, or people to be installed, will only be asked to respond to question six. And then on the, I guess we call it the third page of the insert, there is 4.0 session. The elders meeting together are called a session. And so what is the session responsible for in the church? We say the elders meeting or the session is meeting, and that's referring to the elders. And some people often say the board of elders. Well, that's from somewhere else. Presbyterians, we don't have a board of elders. We may have a board of missions, but we don't have a board of elders. It's a session of elders. Big deal, right? Okay. And what the elders of the church are responsible for. The Apostle Paul wrote pretty extensively about elders in the letter to Timothy and the letter to Titus. Invite you to read that. And I believe, lived by it for over 40 years, that these statements here are based on what the Bible says about elders. The book of Acts sees the elders, even the elders back in Jerusalem who gave oversight to the church in general, the New Testament church, acting, and the local church, especially we have the part about the church at Ephesus having elders. So hopefully I've brought you up to date. If you want to experience the ordination, installation of elders today, be with us at the 10:15 service. God bless you.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Galatians 6:9. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Will our ushers please come forward?
Of God in prayer. That's why the ushers to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for many blessings you've given us this day here today. Father, we ask that we come to you now and bring tithes and offerings, give back a portion to you that you've given us to receive. Father, we ask that these gifts be used to glorify your kingdom on earth. Father, we ask these things.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You may be seated. Mark, will you come forward? Go ahead.
Mark announced this morning that he wanted prayer because he just found out he had a kidney disease. And while I was sitting here, it just kind of came over me that we needed to pray over him, that we need to put our hands on him. So anybody that would like to come up, put their hands on Mark, and then Brother Larry will pray.
Lord God, you are the Lord of life. We are praying now for Mark's life, his physical well-being. And we come as your people seeking a special blessing, O Lord. We pray for healing, wellness, but we trust you with your plans for Mark.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Special music this morning is from Sam. He's going to sing "I Can Only Imagine."
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing with the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Able to speak at all, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Scripture lesson this morning will be read by the Bloms.
Good morning. Our scripture verse this morning will be Mark verses 4 through 13. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing of camel's hair with a belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
At the time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, CB and Joyce. And what we're trying to do this year is to have various people read the scripture, and we'll be asking you, and if we happen to overlook you, just say, "I'm willing to read the scripture," and we'll certainly include you. Confession of Faith talks about baptism. We call them sacraments. Now, some people refer to baptism as an ordinance. And even as I was typing my notes, I typed in one of the ordinances. And I still don't know where that came from. And Sam happened to catch it. And we did get it changed in the sermon notes. I don't think it's the end of the world if I did that, but we see baptism as a sacrament, something that Jesus has instructed us to do, and we follow it to the best of our ability. I will say that baptism has been the cause of much division in the church through the years. People even argue or discuss, maybe we should say they discuss, how Jesus was baptized. Was he immersed in the Jordan River, or was water, did he stand in the river and water was poured over him? Presbyterians, Reformed Church people, United Methodists, and many others practice baptism by pouring or sprinkling. Other denominations, fellowships will insist on immersing people in the water, under the water. And if you want, in the most recent edition of the Confession of Faith, I think it's August 2007, it's on page 14. Now, this word hadn't changed in any of the wording of the confession. Some of the constitutional items have changed since 1984, but the confessional statements have not. And so you can turn there if you have an interest in studying deeper about baptism, page 14 in the Confession of Faith. There are many, many references to baptism in the Bible, the New Testament, new Christians being baptized, and it was initiation or reception into the church. And then in the Bible, we have John's baptism and Jewish baptism of proselytes, and then we have Christian baptism, or the baptism after John. I think it was in the 19th chapter of Acts. The Apostle Paul found a group of people that only had been baptized with John's baptism, and Paul rebaptized them, or he baptized them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I can't say all that might need to be said about baptism this morning, but there'll be another day. And we don't plan a series.
a baptismal font filled with water, a symbol. And as Presbyterians, Reformed Church people, we see baptism as an outward sign of an inward cleansing, cleansing by the Holy Spirit. And that's what John said about Jesus. When he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So we do not practice baptism in John's baptism, but Jesus' baptism. But all of us, before today, have been somewhat familiar with baptism. Have we not? Or are we not? We've talked about it. We may have discussed it. We may have heard 14 sides of it. We may have heard people say that we can't get to heaven unless we are baptized in under the water. Others will say that you've got to be baptized by a minister of that denomination. Our church says that it needs to be, must be, supposed to be an ordained minister to administer baptism. Some people, some fellowships or churches, anybody can administer the sacrament of baptism. We are familiar at least with the idea. We may not be aware of all the discussion that goes on. But it is one of the sacraments of the church, the other being the Lord's Supper, something that we feel that we ought to do. Is baptism necessary to get into heaven? A woman asked me that question one time. She came forward in the church service and wanted to unite with the church. I asked her the church questions, and she answered them in the affirmative, and I offered her the welcome into the church, having been given that permission by the session of that church, and I made an appointment to visit later in the week and talk about baptism as membership into the church. And I got to her house, and we sat down and talked, and her question was, do you have to be baptized to get into heaven? And my understanding, and I think it's biblical, is that it's not a requirement to get into heaven. And I can give you scripture passages, one being the thief on the cross. We have no evidence of him being baptized at all, no mention of it. And I said, no, I do not believe that you have to be baptized to get into heaven. And she said, well, I don't want to be baptized then. And, well, why not? Well, she just didn't want to do anything she didn't have to do. She wanted to, I guess you could say she wanted to do the minimum requirement, just enough to get in the pearly gates. Well, and she never changed her thinking on it, and I didn't keep trying to twist her arm or anything. But the practice of baptism goes back to the Israelites, and where I have learned that only the proselytes to the Jewish faith were baptized. And someone said only the proselytes, as people who were not descendants of Abraham, Gentiles who claimed Abraham as their ancestor and came and became a Jew, but not by birth, they were baptized into the faith. And one writer even said, one theologian said, descendants of Abraham wouldn't really think about being baptized. That is as through the years. So the practice goes way, way back. But John the Baptist, came baptizing those who repented of their sin because he had scared them, and goodly, he had did a good thing and scared them concerning what awaited them if they died within their sin or if they continued to live in their sin. And he came baptizing those who repented of their sin, and there's much some indication there that some Jews came for John's baptism. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels we call them, they're similar. They all tell us about John's preaching and his baptizing. Matthew 3, Mark 1, and Luke 3. John's gospel just gives us John's report of John the Baptist's report of his baptizing. And you find that in the first chapter of John also. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record how Jesus came to John requesting to be baptized, though he was without sin. And that's been a question in a lot of people's mind. Why would Jesus come to be baptized by John when John was offering baptism as a sign of people who had repented of their sin? Well, if Jesus had no sin, why would he need to repent of his sin and show that he had repented? And John understood that Jesus was without sin, that he was the Lamb of God, and that he did not need to be baptized, but that John the Baptist realized that he needed to be baptized by Jesus instead of the other way around, as Jesus was requesting. But Jesus insisted, and John relates, the Gospel of John, John the Evangelist, relates in that Gospel how what John the Baptist reported on the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. And go back and read that if you will. Let's think about the baptism of Jesus. In Jesus' baptism, we see Jesus identifying with those who came to John. John came to a world without much hope. We've talked about it maybe enough, but the Romans had taken over Israel, or Judah as we know it. Israel had been destroyed many, many times. Years before, and then Judah had been destroyed, but Judah, the southern portion of Jacob's descendants' nation, referred to the whole thing as Israel, but when it was divided, it was Israel for the 10 northern tribes and Judah for the 2 southern tribes. The Babylonians came and destroyed the Judah, but they, under the Persian rule, they were allowed to come home and reestablish themselves in this country that was Judah or Israel, somewhat, as we know it today. But the Romans came a few years later and took over. The Romans took over everything they could, and they were in charge, taxing the people heavy, Roman soldiers everywhere, and et cetera, et cetera. And people were living with not much hope. John came on the scene and started talking about a new day, one who was coming. He was preparing the way for a liberator. That's the way many people interpret it, the Messiah. And the people came to him, and they offered themselves, confessing their sins and repenting of their sin, and wanted to be baptized. And so Jesus identified with those who came to John the Baptist. Some thought that John himself might be the Messiah. And William Barclay says that this coming to John was a movement of the people of the area back to God. And Jesus was identifying himself with this movement. He wanted to be part of it. Though he was God in the flesh, he identified with his people. And Barclay insists and points out rather strongly, Jesus didn't do it for his own sake, but for the sake of the people. And he wanted to join with those who were looking for some say, relief from anywhere. And they saw in being baptized by John some relief from the burden that they were under. So Jesus came to them not so that he would be relieved. He was God in the flesh. But he came for the sake of the people. And then we see in Jesus coming to be baptized, he said he did it to fulfill all righteousness. And he is identifying himself, though, with the sinfulness of those who came to John. We've stressed over and over, but let me do it again. Jesus was without sin. But Jesus came identifying himself with those who were sinners, also identifying himself with we who are sinners. And John the Baptist said of Jesus as he saw him approaching, and this is in John's Gospel, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, not as one of the sinners, but as one who would help the sinner get rid of his sin, or would take away the sin of the people. Again, not for his own sake, but for the sake of the sinner. And ultimately, it would be for God's glory. Both identifying with the downtrodden, identifying with the sinner. It would ultimately be for God's glory and God's honor, but he had to identify with the people for their sake and lift them up. And then Jesus experienced in his baptism his confirmation from God. And there's theologians discussed back and forth, and I don't really know the mind of Jesus at that time. If I claimed to, I think I would be far out of my bounds or where I should be. But the discussion is, did Jesus know from the time he was 12, when he was in the temple with his parents, up until his 30, those 18 years there, was he always thinking, I've got to go to do my ministry, I'm going to do this when I'm 30, etc., etc., etc.? Or was he the normal, well, not normal if he was without sin, teenager, 20-year-old living in the community of Nazareth? We don't really know what was on his mind and what he was thinking, but we do have record of when Jesus came to be baptized and when he was coming out of the water, that God confirmed. And this became the beginning of his ministry, at least as we have it recorded. His decision to begin his public ministry, the ministry for which he had been sent to earth, or for which he had come to earth, back in the Nativity story. He will bear the sins of his people. So this was confirmation from God. And further, we see the affirmation of his power. But it came very gently. The symbol of the Spirit of God. A dove. Matthew says that the people saw the dove descending on him and heard the voice. But the dove descended on him. A sign of peace and comfort and blessing throughout the history of the Israelites. In Jesus' baptism experience, we see the Godhead active together. Oftentimes we talk about God the Father. Then we talk about, Jesus the Son. And then the Holy Spirit. And we want to keep them separated. But we can't separate them, really. They're three in one. And one in three. The Godhead. God the Father. God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit. So, in Jesus' baptism, we find the voice of God from heaven. Jesus Himself in bodily form. And the dove. The dove. What about your baptism? A symbol of the Holy Spirit upon you and within you. Identifying with Jesus. He came to identify with us, but in our baptism, we identify with Jesus. Our need of Him. Our need of forgiveness. We came saying we're sinners, but we're trusting Jesus as our Savior. And then our decision in our baptism, it was our decision for Jesus. Maybe one of you would choose to identify with Jesus today. And receive His sacrament. We who have been baptized, let us remember our baptism. Let us pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus coming to identify with us. And thank you, Father, that He has set this example for us. But thank you that He was your Lamb to take our sin away. In Jesus' name, we offer our prayer. Amen and amen. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. That's what baptism is, we said. The symbol of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Let's stand together and let's sing it. It's 247.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt to me,
go from this place remembering Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes your sin and bears them on Calvary. In His name, amen. Hello, young man. How you doing?
How you doing?
Okay, good to see you. Who is this young person here? How you doing? Yeah, good to see you. Hadn't seen you in a while. Your buddy moved on from us. Did you know that? Yeah. How are you, Miss Cindy?
Hi, Jim.
Okay,
Larry.
Good to see you. Hey, fella, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, good to see you. Good to see you. Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
What have we got? A little baby that lost his clothes?
Is it your birthday?
It is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
At 66. You going to come to youth meeting tonight?
What time is it?
5 o'clock?
I'm going to sit on the 18th. Or so that's the little kid.
Oh, yeah, that's the little kid, yeah. He's bigger than that. What are we up here?
He didn't have anything up here, so I didn't
know. Emily'll be here. 5 o'clock.
Good service.
Good to be with you. Thank you. What time is you? 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock. Yeah.
Did it make you laugh?
Huh?
Did it make you smile?
Well, no, made me thankful. I got a good one. But one thing, when one day Andrea came up, when she was doing the candles one, you may have been here, but no, she probably wasn't because she was in the second service, but she would light the thing and then wave with it, talk with her hands,
oh, no.
You know, and then she'd light it again and talk with her hand, and she never did figure out what she was doing, or she was blowing it out. So, but everything, I still don't know what happened that day. So they worked before, right before.
They need.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason we didn't have the long one. Yeah, that's the reason we didn't have that long one, because people would wave it.
So,
I'm still talking. And, oh, we done run.